Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Acts. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is a very special Sunday in the life of the church. Today is Ascension Sunday. It marks the last Sunday of Easter time, the Sunday before we celebrate Pentecost. It is the day where we celebrate Jesus's ascension into heaven. Basically, Jesus has said that he is going to work from home until further notice. On ascension, Jesus is welcomed into the Father's presence. His ascension proves that he is Lord. He is both fully human and fully divine, because only God has the power to rise from the dead and return to the Father in heaven. So today we celebrate that Jesus is Lord, that there are no other rulers but Jesus. Ascension concludes Jesus's earthly ministry. It is the event that allows Jesus to send the Spirit. The Spirit is going to aid the disciples as they fulfill Jesus's commission to share the good news with every nation and every peoples. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But even with the Spirit, the disciples must figure out how to live without his physical, visible presence among them. Our scripture reading for today reminds us that because of Jesus's ascension, nothing and no one can separate us from God. In our scripture reading for today, the disciples gather together, waiting for God, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit. And while they're waiting, they ask Jesus if now is the time that Jesus is going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Jesus responds by telling them, "No, you're actually going to have to wait a little longer, because it's not for you or me to know when the Father will act." He instructs them to go back to the city and wait. While they are waiting, Jesus ascends to the Father and the disciples return to Jerusalem. The disciples isolate together in an upstairs guest room. While they wait, they pray. What I love about our scripture reading for today is that it illustrates that we do not have control over when or how God's Spirit interacts with us. Sometimes the Spirit moves so quickly and clearly through us that we can feel like a little kid riding a roller coaster, hanging on for dear life. Other times, we, like the disciples, have to wait upon the Spirit. And it is in this period of waiting that we draw closest to God. I know that in my own life, I do not enjoy waiting upon the Spirit's guidance. I do not enjoy waiting because it makes me feel like I am not in control of my own life. I've learned in these periods of waiting that I'm not, but so far this knowledge has not improved my attitude about waiting. I've also found in my own life that periods of waiting are usually followed by major changes. I know that something big is about to happen, but I don't know what, and the unknown makes me anxious. To me, what this yellow phase of reopening Pennsylvania means is that our entire community is engaging in a waiting game. Particularly as during this first full week of eased stay-at-home orders and the opening of many retail establishments. We're waiting to see if easing restrictions will lead to a surge in cases. We're waiting to see how comfortable people will feel being in public with no treatment or no cure yet found. We're waiting to see what impact our new normal is going to have on our mental health, on our finances, and even on our sense of who we are. When I was in Guatemala a couple of months ago, I learned an important lesson about waiting upon the Spirit. Guatemala was the country where half of our group, myself included, came down with a really nasty stomach bug. Our bodies just weren't used to Guatemalan food, and our tummies were not happy. The stomach bug ranged in severity. Some of us had a couple days of dehydration and diarrhea, but some of us developed much more severe symptoms. One person even had to be hospitalized and return home early. She was so sick. During kind of the height of our illness, those of us who could eat gathered in the dining hall for dinner. Our practice throughout our trip was to participate in a devotion together after dinner. I can't remember who led the devotion that night, but I do remember the prayer they shared. It was a prayer written by the Catholic monk Thomas Merton. It goes, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I hope that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." Friends, the most helpful thing we can do during periods of waiting is to pray, to acknowledge that we don't know what we're doing, but we trust that God does. And we trust that God is not going to leave us to face our perils alone. In these waiting prayers, we confess that even though that we do not know what's going to happen, and that's okay, because it is in these moments of waiting that we remember that God is in control, not us. As Pennsylvania transitions to the yellow phase of reopening, Session and I are working to formulate and communicate our plans for reopening. We appreciate your patience as we weigh the risks of reopening and the restrictions necessary to decrease those risks. I can testify that our plan for reopening comes out of many, many prayers we prayed as we waited for the Session Spirit's prompting. We know that no plan eliminates all risk, and we know that our plan is bound to ruffle a few feathers. But we trust that because Jesus is Lord, and that God acts on God's own time, things will be different going forward, and that's okay. In my theology class in seminary, when we learned about the ascension, my professor said that ascension clarifies what the resurrection means. What he meant by that is that Jesus returning to the Father was God's plan for humanity all along. Jesus didn't just come to die. He came to defeat death and return to heaven. Friends, the same God who suffered death and rejection by the world, this God now welcomes us at the right hand of the Father. Ascension reminds us that Jesus is God's plan for the world, and neither death nor life, minions or global pandemics can stop God from acting in our world for our benefit. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.